Everybody's here. We have two members of the public as well, so I could see Mrs. Fresky, Mr. Day, Mr. Allworth, Mrs. Drappy, Mrs. Prisco, Mr. Roberts, and Mr. Turner. So it looks like we are all here and ready to begin the meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, and I appreciate the members of the public coming here. So we are going to call the meeting to order officially. It's 7:01, and we are going to do the Pledge of Allegiance to begin with. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, under God, one nation, under God, indivisible, and justice, liberty, and justice for all. And now I will roll into the reading of the meeting notice. This meeting is being conducted in compliance with the meeting with the open meeting session that the Verona Board of Education passed a resolution at its annual reorganization meeting held on January 7, 2020. The meeting set forth the schedule of its regular meetings, which resolution was within 7 days of passage. The schedule was sent to the Verona Cedar Grove Times, the Star Ledger, the Herald News, Township of Verona, and the VEA. Postings of this meeting setting forth the time, location, and agenda were posted in each of Verona's 6 schools, board office, and town hall. The posting was also sent to the above newspapers, all SCA presidents and SCA liaisons. The Verona Board of Education operates under a consent agenda format. Any board member has the right to have an item pulled to be voted upon or discussed separately. Copies of tonight's agenda and resolutions have been made available to the public and the press. And Mr. Turner, you could do the roll call for attendance.
Mr. Allworth.
Here.
Mrs. Drappy.
Here.
Mrs. Prisco.
Here.
Mr. Day.
Here.
And Mrs. Freshy.
I am here.
We have a quorum.
Excellent. So before we do anything else, we're going to have a moment for public comments on agenda items only, and Dr. Dionisio will set that up so the public, if anyone wishes to make any comment on agenda items.
Okay, great. At this time, I am going to activate the Q&A session. Any members of the public who wish to make any public comments on agenda items, just follow the prompts that are going to be noted by the operator.
Okay, so there was no comments from the public on any agenda items. So next on our agenda is the superintendent's report. So Dr. Dionisio is going to give the report on and a presentation on our budget. So I am going to turn that over.
Thank you, Mrs. Fresky. So good evening, everyone. Mr. Turner and I are obviously also remote. I'm actually here at the board office. Mr. Turner and I will give the budget presentation this evening. For members of the public, the budget presentation was advertised in the newspaper with instructions and details on the budget. This information is also located on our district website. So if we have anybody from the public that wishes to follow along on our homepage right now, under announcements for the district webpage, veronaschools.org, right under announcements, the first tab there. If one were to click that tab, it will immediately take you to this evening's presentation, so members of the public can follow along accordingly. So at this time, I'll get started. A portion of this presentation is repeated later on this evening because we did present this in advance of tonight's meeting to give a snapshot of the additions and the sustaining of the programs that we currently have in our school district. So there will be some repetition, but we'll go through this fairly quickly and then dive a little bit deeper into some of the financials so that way we can give a perspective as to the standing of the school districts from a budgetary standpoint. So I'm on slide two. This is just a general budget timeline that we provide every year, and there are modifications that occur from year to year. Currently, we do formally start our conversations probably by the end of September every year at Central Office, and then we start to roll out to our administrators, getting feedback as to looking ahead for the subsequent budget cycle year, and that all of those budgetary needs are identified in November of each year, with then a submission of budgets, preliminary budgets, to the superintendent's office by December. That allows Mr. Turner and I to then really analyze the budget line items, and it gives us time in January and February to really start diving deeper and planning meetings with our administrative team members, going back and forth, and identifying what the budget requests are and having discussions with our finance committee. Preliminary budgets each year are approved in March. This year, we had a special meeting to approve the budget. I believe it was March 19th, the preliminary budget, so we could submit it by the 20th. And then the final budget is due to the state in the beginning of May. So tonight is the last meeting before the submission is required. Each year we identify in our budget timeline school board seats that are up, and this year we have one seat that's up in November. So moving on to slide three, these are constraints that we include to provide some historical perspective for our community and to have an understanding of what we're really dealing with. And not only Verona, but all school districts, as we try to establish a fiscally responsible budget, but one that allows us to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our students and our staff as we move forward in each subsequent year. So the 2% cap has been around since 2010, and that's on the tax levy. And that poses a ceiling, a limit by which we could increase our budget, which we'll reference later on. The other important piece that was a constraint that really impacted Verona is the drastic reduction, draconian reduction in state aid that was back in 2011, where Verona cumulatively lost over $6 million. We'll never be able to recover those numbers. We do have a slide later in this presentation that gives a year-over-year perspective on those specific numbers. And then you can quickly see that we're trending in the right direction right now for the past 3 years, but that we'll never be able to recover that $6 million. So most of our budget is really made up of, anywhere between 90 to 95% is local property taxes. So, the number back in 5-6 years ago was about 95% local property taxes. We're down to about 91%. So we are getting more aid, which is driving that number. But, we're probably getting close to, if we're not already at, a plateau with how much state aid a community like Verona would receive. And then the other factor that we need to always keep in mind and consider is that our enrollment. So our enrollment is increasing each year. And it's increasing because of the schools that we have, and we have a lot of people who are moving into town or are flocking here because of our strong schools, because of our strong township and community. And that's a natural increase, and we're starting to see greater increases year over year in our student enrollment. And then with that, and as we've had conversations between Mr. Cavallo and myself, and then the town council and the Board of Education, something that Verona needs to keep an eye on is how the potential housing development expansion will impact student enrollment. And what does that mean for the constraints that creates for the school district that needs to operate within a 2% cap and with lots of restrictions. So then we go to slide 4, which gives us, we've entitled it Budget Variables. And this slide we've included because it gives us an opportunity to identify, okay, we've shared what the constraints are, but what are some of the things that we've done? And some of the things we have more control over than others. What are the things that we've done in an effort to try to make sure that we're stretching the dollar as much as we can? So back in 2014-15, we started at that point, if you recall, major expansion of our technology infrastructure. We started to bring in Chromebooks and devices and enhancing our technology practices, which thank goodness we did because that allowed us to be in a position to transition to remote distance virtual learning. And our faculty has done a tremendous job, from our teachers to our administrators, across the board and leveraging that. But we were able to stretch the dollar because instead of doing outright purchases, we started to create line items year over year and reallocate our funding so that way we can make technology purchases through a lease finance. So we finance all of our technologies, or I would say a lot of our technologies, almost all of our Chromebooks are financed, which we then own at the end, and they, of course, have a certain shelf life. But it allows us to most effectively budget accordingly so that way we can make sure that when the equipment is outdated, we have resources and line items that we can go and engage in a new finance and have it on a revolving basis. We've worked tremendously. Mr. Moriello, I give him and the team an incredible amount of credit. This was a focus when we brought Mr. Moriello in to really get a handle on our special education program, to look at where our strengths were and where we could improve, specifically increasing, creating new programs in the middle school and the high school, which Mr. Moriello has done a fine job of, creating additional positions to support our students and to provide fair and equitable services for our children. But at the same time, wherever possible, to be able to educate children here in Verona that we can educate rather than out of district. Make no mistake about it, there are instances where children are better served in an out-of-district placement, no doubt. But there are a lot of special education programs that we can do an equal or better job of here in Verona. I think Mr. Moriello and the team have done an incredible job of demonstrating that over the past 5 years. And that's translating into lower out-of-district special education costs, which allows us to utilize those dollars here in district for Verona, for a broader base of Verona students. Staffing retirements, especially post-budget adoption, always help the budget, because if we have a retirement tomorrow, we've already accounted for that salary in the budget. They don't happen that often. We have a fairly young staff. We don't have a lot of staff members that are considering retirement, but we've had a few this year. I think we had 3. So that does help as far as the financial side. So this year was a little bit better than last year in that sense. But the next 5 to 8 years doesn't look good as far as netting savings from retirements. So that's something to consider. That's going to be a constraint moving forward. Budget variables, wherever we could reduce and consolidate, we didn't really need to do that this year. As you can recall, 2 years ago, that was a major area where we had to be creative for a year and a half or so until we can rebound from that tough budget year we had. where we've reinstated a great deal, if not almost all of those positions, except for the director of facilities position. So as far as staffing goes, all of those have been built back into the budget between last year and this year, and most of them coming last year. Additional state aid, we've seen an increase in 2019, and then we saw an additional increase about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, for the 2020-21 school year. Second to last bullet there, streamlining efficiencies, always taking a look at how are we spending our money, and do we need to continue to spend the money in that fashion, or can we repurpose funds because our needs have changed? So constantly evolving and seeing how we're utilizing our funds. And then lower healthcare premium increases. So on average, we've increased the total cost of the premiums from anywhere between 7 to 12%. Under 10%, I know it sounds crazy, but under 10% has been a good number for us most years, considering that some other districts are seeing 12, 15, 20% increases on premiums. If you do the math on the back of a napkin, it just doesn't make any sense. You could only increase the tax levy 2%, but your health insurance costs are going up by 10, 15%. It's impossible to keep up with. So when we can realize some savings there with lower increases, that's a good story to tell. So many factors affect that. And Mr. Turner can talk a little bit about that later on, but we did have lower health care premium increases this year. This begins the next few slides of what I presented on March 19th. So I won't spend too much time repeating myself. It's all here for the public to review, but we are maintaining all current and existing staffing and programs as well. So we are maintaining all existing staffing and programs. So that's important. So we're going to be able to build upon that. We're adding a new math teacher and a new special education teacher for next year. Actually, one of these positions, the math teacher, is on for approval tonight as an addendum resolution that's up on our website. What's important to note is that even though these two positions are new positions, they are budget neutral. And what I mean by that is the sections that these two new teachers will be covering, will be teaching, are actually being covered by existing staff right now through the VEA contract as sixth period stipends. But since it's budget neutral, it makes more sense. This time of the year is the best time to hire and recruit highly qualified candidates. And wherever we can increase our staffing and take some stress off of our teachers from teaching that extra class, we want to take advantage of that. We are increasing some counseling days for our counselors over the summer at Verona High School, predominantly because of the evolving needs around schedule and also because of the later start time and the college application process for our seniors. And if we're starting school 2 weeks later, that's going to pose a challenge for students, our seniors, being able to apply to college. And then the last bullet on this first slide of the budget progress updates is we are adding a new kindergarten teacher. And this is one of those things that is necessary. I think the class enrollment right now is at somewhere around 30 or 32. Naturally, we'd never have a large class, a class of that size. Our elementary schools are the most susceptible to increases because of our small neighborhood schools. So anytime we get into the 25 and higher range of students, it poses challenges because of how difficult that is to most effectively educate children, and it requires an additional teacher. So every time we add an additional teacher, that requires an additional typically $70,000 to $80,000. Could be more. It's usually not less, but it's typically around there between salary, benefits, and supplies. Slide six. We have some increase of current staff who are currently part-time. We're going to move them to full-time with the growing needs. This is something that we were planning on doing. So this is not a surprise to us, and we were going to plan on doing it eventually when the budget allowed for it. It's a minimal cost increase, but It's something that we were able to work into the budget this year. So our focus on mental health and supporting our children in all grade levels has been a focus the past at least budgetarily, you know, 3-4 years, even before passing the second question referendum for the mental health program. But we have now, we continue to have the need at the elementary school, and now we will be able to have two counselors at the elementary school, Mrs. King and Mrs. Lustig, who will each work and collaborate together, and they will each be responsible for two schools and working in conjunction with the teachers to support our children there. Our HIB school safety specialist, Mrs. McFadden, is a district level HIB school safety specialist and a certified school counselor, has done a tremendous job, and we see this role continuing to evolve in supporting our schools around school safety and HIB. And then we'll have a table for point number three, which will best illustrate, you know, where we see some of these increases in the non-discretionary fund line accounts, where we are rebuilding the school budgets and the curriculum instruction and assessment budgets from the 2018 cuts that we had to make. If you recall, at that time, we had to be able to trim across the board, and those were areas where we trimmed in order to make sure that we were meeting the balancing the budget. And we're not fully reinstated in those line items, but we are rebuilding those numbers back in, and we're getting close to, very close to where they were before. Slide seven, the first bullet there is the district will be, upon my recommendation, absorbing the stipend and supply budgetary requirements for the HBW Dream Team Club that has traditionally been paid for by VMAC through state grants that come through from the state to the county. Unfortunately, Verona Municipal Alliance and many municipal alliances across the state have been reduced as in their budgets. And as a result, I've met with VMAC, and I know that they also met with Mr. Cavallo at the town, because there's funding that's generated from the municipal side. And on our end, we are working with VMAC to maintain this program that they cannot fund, so that way we can continue supporting something that we believe is really important, and VMAC feels the same way. So we also thank the Municipal Alliance for supporting us in a number of other ventures. They do so much that allows for the grant funds to go to really important places to support programs, assemblies, materials, and so many different things across the whole district. And then the second bullet on slide seven is a number of different small stipends across the district. These are just some examples. We're working on job responsibilities of what these may look like. We have not posted any of these positions yet, but these are items that these positions would go to existing staff members on our faculty that would apply for these positions. You know, residency officer, something that comes up a lot, ESY coordinator, 504 coordinator, the strength and conditioning coach position, mental health coordinator. There are a lot of evolving needs because of our strategic goals in the areas where we want to go. And doing it through a stipend is a fiscally responsible way to be able to allocate some of these roles to people, where currently with a school district in small in size like a Verona, we just don't have the manpower to be able to have some of these roles. So some of these smaller stipend positions will give us the flexibility to carry out some of these job functions. On slide eight, some general overview of what this budget means to the taxpayer and to the community. So the tax levy increase, as we said earlier, is to the max at 2% based on the prior year. The impact to the taxpayer is $203 per household, and that's all based on this year's, the 2020 average assessed home value of $430,400, and you see there what the average school tax paid by residents is. That's not the tax that's collected by the municipality or received by the municipality or by the county. That's solely the school tax. And then now at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Turner. We're on slide 9, and he'll take us through some of the financials.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dr. Dionisio. All right, now looking at the revenues for school year 2021, the total amount for the general operating fund for the Verona School District is $38,376,591. The local taxes, or the tax levy, for the general fund is $34,935,440, which is 91.03% of the total operating budget. So you can see that for the vast majority of the funds needed to support the general operating budget for the Verona School District is funded through the local tax levy. All right, the state aid for next year is anticipated to be $2,109,112, which is approximately 5.5% of the total operating budget. And then we have miscellaneous revenue, which is tuition, budgeted fund balance, and withdrawal from capital and maintenance reserve of $1,332,039, which equates to a 3.47% increase of the total operating budget. So that's in summary how the operating budget for the school district is funded. And as you can see, the local taxes make up the vast majority of the share of the operating budget. So a little historical background for the Verona school districts is a little history of the state aid for the district. As you can see, going back to all the way to 2009, the amount of state aid that was being received was $1,445,000. And as it went through the years, you can see it went down and then went back up, and it's been slowly increasing now for each year in accordance with the new School Financing and Reinvestment Act, which is the CFRA Act for school funding for school districts in the state of New Jersey. So, in effect, what the implementation of the new School Financing Act is illustrating to Verona is that, in effect, Verona had been underfunded for a number of years. And you may remember in years past that the same dollar amount in state aid for a number of years was received by school districts. It was the same dollar amount, regardless of whether or not enrollment went up or it went down. And it was kept consistently at that same dollar amount for so many years. But what has happened now is that they're slowly phasing in the new requirements under the new School Financing Act. And so as a result, Verona is in line for additional state aid. So based on that alone, the actual increase for the state aid this year through categorical special ed aid was $266,275. So that's what we can anticipate for this year, and supposedly the new state funding law is supposed to be phased in over 5 years. So taking into account the fact that things are a little bit uncertain right now with the with our situation and the possibility that things may change, if everything gets back on track and is consistent with all the information we've been told now for the past couple of years, it looks like the district can anticipate getting even a small increase again next year in state aid. But that remains to be seen. Obviously, in light of all the things that the state and the country is facing right now. All right, so if we turn to page 10, we have a chart on revenue comparison. So what we've done is that we've taken the revenue source, that we've taken what was adopted as part of the budget for the current year, which is the 2019-2020 school year. We have the proposed school budget for 2020-2021. We have the one-year change, either up or down, in comparison with the prior year, and then the one-year percent change. So the first item, again, is the tax levy. As you can see, the $2 amounts that are compared, the one-year change shows an increase of $685,009, which is at the maximum 2% that Dr. D'Anicio explained prior in the previous pages of the presentation. So we're right at the maximum of the 2% that the district is allowed to go up to. State aid, as you can see, has an increase of $416,275, which is an increase of 24.59%. Any increase in state aid is a welcome relief to the taxpayer and to the school district. So we certainly appreciate that. Tuition revenue, which is very minimal in the overall scheme of the finances of the district, is anticipating just a reduction of $29,525. And miscellaneous revenue, which is things such as fees, interest earnings on our bank accounts, and other miscellaneous items that might come in, we're anticipating a reduction of $100,000 in an effort to just make sure that we don't over budget for that account. All right, so now also the next line is the budgeted fund balance. And as you can see in 2019-2020, the budgeted fund balance was $119,785. And in 2021, we're looking at a budgeted fund balance of $575,183, an increase of $455,398. And what that is that at the end of the school year, any excess surplus, and it's described as excess surplus in our annual audit report, any excess surplus plus additional funds that are required to be budgeted as budgeted fund balance when we do the state format for the the state budget, which automatically calculates a number of an additional amount for funded balance. It turned out that Verona basically was required to budget this amount, this $575,183. As budgeted fund balance. That's a good thing, all right? That's a positive thing. That means that there was surplus and there were excess funds that could be used to substantiate the budget. In effect, budgeted fund balance is the equivalent to a revenue on the budget. So it's it's a positive aspect of making sure that we can maintain and finance the operations of the district. So we're fortunate in having that money available to us as well.
Mr. Turner.
And then we're also looking, I'm sorry, did someone have a question?
Yes, Mr. Turner, it's Dr. D'Anicio. I just wanted to, I'm sorry for interrupting, I just wanted to also add a little bit of color prior to your arrival here to give perspective to the board and to the public as to how, Verona typically most years does not have a large fund balance and surplus at the end of the year. What happened and how we arrived at this number, which the district benefits from, were precautions that we took during that that budget year in 2018, where we struck the budget and we had a lot of cuts. Post striking that budget, we had four things occurred, really three things, with four different staff members, where we took precautions because of where we were financially at that time. One of the things that we did was we did a reduction in force with the director of facilities job, and that saved the district $140,000 a year in salary and benefits in 2019. A director of counseling, Mrs. Ferlato at the time, had taken a position in another district in southern New Jersey, closer to her family. And that saved the district about $130,000. And then in August, we had two maintenance personnel staff members retire. I made a decision at the time not to fill those positions for the remaining 10 months of that academic year, saving the district money. So that's how we ended up getting at that number. That's atypical for Verona, but it's something that, as Mr. Turner noted, how we arrived at these numbers here.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. D'Anicio. I appreciate that. All right. So to continue on, where we have budgeted in the 2021 budget a withdrawal from capital reserve of $456,381, which is an increase of $342,381. And basically what that is that it's, this amount was budgeted with the intent of doing additional capital improvements to the district that weren't part of the referendum. So these funds have been put into the budget. The administration and the board have the option of using that fund, that money, and in order to address some of the other capital needs of the district. But they also have the option of not doing anything. And if they don't do anything, the money just goes right back into capital reserve. So this was like the safe play in using the capital reserve, was putting it in the budget so it was available and it's an option that could be considered by the administration and the board going forward, depending on what needs may be identified as you go through the process of implementing the referendum. And that's the same thing that's true with the withdrawal for the maintenance reserve. Again, that money is being budgeted. It's available, but you don't have to use it if it's not necessary. And the worst thing that happens is it goes right back into maintenance reserve. So there's nothing lost here. There's no downside or detriment in appropriating these reserves into the budget. It just gives the option to the administration and the board of exploring other opportunities to further enhance the capital needs and maintenance needs of the district. So that's all very, very positive. Now, one thing I want everybody to keep in mind now as we go to the next page, but if you look at the one-year change for the budget fund balance of $455,398 and then the one-year change for the withdrawal capital reserve of $342,000 and then the one-year change for the withdrawal of the maintenance reserve of $150,000, that's approximately like $950,000. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go to the next page. Or actually, the next page is really just an illustration of a pie chart on the proposed expenditures. And as you can see, the salaries and benefits make up almost two-thirds of the budget, which is the blue section of the pie chart. Special education makes up about 24.5%. The non-discretionary spending is 6.1%. And the discretionary spending is 4.8%. So this is a visual conception of exactly, the apportionment of the expenses and appropriations in the total school budget. All right. Now we go to the next page. It's the five-year summary. All right. And now these are the appropriations. All right. So, again, keeping in mind that $950,000 from the revenue, going through this analysis here, you'll see that in salary portion, all right, we saw an increase in salaries of 3.71% between compared with 2019-2020 to the proposed 2020-2021, and that 3.71 is made up of increases in salaries based on contractual obligations, the increment, the step increments for the existing staff. It also takes into account the new positions that Dr. Dionisio spoke about earlier. And so that's the overall impact on the salaries from one year to the next. And then there's also a five-year average of what the increase has been for the salaries. And you can see that it's at 2.62%. The next line down is the benefits. And you can see that the increase in the benefits is 2.75%. Again, Dr. Dionisio spoke about the benefit that we had in that the increase in our premiums this year for our health benefits remained at a very low rate, which is excellent because, as he mentioned, in years past, 10% would have been a good year. And so far this year, we're looking at a 2.75% increase, which is excellent. I've worked in a lot of school districts, and I haven't seen it that good of a number for an increase from one year to the next in a long time. So Verona's doing something right. Everybody seems to be healthy in Verona, and as a result, the benefits, the premiums are directly resulting in a real cost containment for the district as well, because as we know, the benefits are a big part of the budget. You know, and really the five-year average is 3.11%. So this one-year change is under the five-year average that you've had. Special education, we're looking at an increase of 2.06%, which is very modest. And again, that's less than what the five-year average has been, because that's just about 6%. Non-discretionary appropriations and expenses that involve professional development, curriculum writing, custodial and maintenance supplies. We're looking at a one-year increase of 2.69%, all right, and which is still less than the average five-year calculation, which was 3.74%. And then we go to the discretionary spending, which is regular classroom and co-curricular supplies. And if you remember, the number 950,000, which was a number from the revenue side, in this discretionary column, all right, the additional money that we had from budgeted fund balance, the withdrawal from capital reserve, the withdrawal from maintenance reserve, falls into the category of the discretionary spending, which explains for the large increase in the one-year change of 82.09%, where over the five-year average it was running at about 9.43%. Again, it goes back to the fact that we're looking at, we had the benefit of an additional amount for a budgeted fund balance, and the decision was made to move forward with budgeting for capital reserve and maintenance reserve, again, in light of the fact that this is the year when the activity for the referendum is going to be implemented, and then in case there's any other capital and maintenance needs that are needed that weren't part of the referendum that now can be funded with these withdrawals from the capital reserve. So I think that pretty much explains the five-year summary on this. And I think, and Dr. Dionisio, is the next slide mine as well, too?
It is,
okay. All right, so we go to the next slide, slide 13, and it's benefit costs. All right, and as you can see, the cost of the health benefit plan, including health, dental, and vision, for a family coverage, it's $32,688. Husband and wife, $27,623. Parent and child, $18,590. And single coverage cost is $12,500. 179 staff benefits cost $4,627,176, less employee contributions, otherwise known as Chapter 78 contributions, of approximately $950,000. 94 staff members opt out, and the cost for that is $470,000. Social Security, pension, and unemployment costs are approximately $945,000. Workman's compensation insurance costs are approximately $233,075. And board liability and property insurance costs are approximately $248,341. Okay, any questions?
No, Ernie, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, very good. All right, so is screen 14 my screen or yours, Dr. Dean? So.
No, I could take it from here. Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Okay, very good.
Thank you for your review of the budget. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And non-discretionary and discretionary spending, as Mr. Turner had identified in his presentation, just gives you a little bit of detail as to what that money, that funding goes towards. So the non-discretionary spending is typically all of these items here, which, as you can imagine, just like in our homes, are tied up in expenses that we're locked into. There's really not a lot of flexibility that we have. We need copiers. We need materials for buildings and grounds and insurance and legal and auditing fees that come along with just conducting business as usual. The discretionary side is where we have choice, but as we would say, that we want more and more money in there, because this is the money that actually gets materials and supplies into the hands of our teachers and into our students. So as much as we can build up our discretionary, then the better off our students and our faculty will be. And as Mr. Turner mentioned, the increase in that discretionary, although it looks like a big number, a lot of that is locked up in maintenance and capital reserve, and there are stipulations and regulations on how we could use that money towards referendum and repairs of our buildings and grounds. Slide 15, we modify this year to year, and this is a constant evolving relationship and a very positive one that we have with the township. Mr. Cavallo and I have a great relationship in communicating, and we help each other out. And when I say we help each other out, it's the Board of Ed helping the township and the township helping the Board of Ed. And that's really in an effort to maintain the strong, close-knit community that we have and to pool our resources as much as we can to save each of our entities and our taxpayers as much money as possible. So you see some examples here of things that the township helps us with and what we help with in partnering with the township. You know, landscaping, snow removal, trash removal, recycling, you see there. The pooling of shared services for health, dental, workman's comp that we have with other districts, custodial supplies, special education and transportation costs. And then what's not on here, I'm realizing it now, is we also have the township, you know, all of our recreation programs that happen during the course of the summer and even during the course of the year with the athletic programs, the use of our facilities. So we work very well hand in hand, and that's something that we want to continue to sustain because everybody benefits from it. The curricular initiatives, we have them here for elementary, middle, and high school. I won't spend too much time talking about each bullet point, but a lot of these programs are things that we're going to continue to do because they're very valuable to us. So, for example, continuing with supporting our teachers with professional development and reading and writing workshop with administrative support, continuing to work with the professor at the College of New Jersey, Dr. Goble, and our humanities supervisor, Mr. Shells and Charlie, Dr. Miller, and our CIO director, so that way we can continue to support our social studies teachers. Continuing our elementary and middle, ultimately on the next slide, on the middle school science program, our inquiry-based science program. There's always a revision and a review of our standards-based elementary report cards, and you see professional learning communities and all kinds of support that we offer our teachers, and that's what makes us an outstanding district, is we want to be able to work together with all members of our team and continue to support everybody based on the needs that they have. And if we do that well, then our kids benefit. At the middle school, you'll see a lot of similarities to what I just noted on the elementary side. They're from Dr. Goble to the professional development. We're expanding the math lesson study to the middle school, and you'll see that at the high school as well. We have the inquiry-based science program at the middle school, and then a literacy approach with the reading and writing workshop, but also with balanced literacy and continuing to support professional development there. Our focus on financial literacy in grades 5 through 7 coming up next year is a new requirement from the Department of Education. So we're implementing changes to support those requirements, and we're also developing our LGBTQ plus curriculum in our middle school level, as well as the middle school theater curriculum. And then at the high school level, once again, you'll see similarities, inquiry-based learning, Dr. Goble, math, lesson study, revisions to curricula, introducing new curricula this next year is in data science and AP music theory. So all kinds of revisions, and also developing the LGBTQ plus curriculum at the high school level as well. On the special services side for special education, you could see there program continuity and additional services. Those are all programs staffing that will continue. Nothing new there. All really important, though, and that's why we include it, because this is sustaining and maintaining the outstanding services that we have as an entire team worked really hard to providing for our community. On the far right, though, are where our new initiatives, the adds to the budget, occur. So we have that elementary ACE counselor, the academic success and engagement counselor at the elementary school, moving from part-time to full-time. That's a huge added benefit. Now we'll have two full-time counselors at the elementary school to provide support for social-emotional learning on an individual basis, on a group basis, and on a push into the classroom basis through the PICAPAC curriculum. We're also adding that special education teacher with math certification at the high school that I noted earlier. And as we've done at the elementary and the middle school levels, we have added sensory rooms. And now next year is the time for Verona High School. We are going to be expanding our sensory rooms to Verona High School next year. And we're very excited about that.
Okay.
The referendum construction, we've been very, very busy. We will most likely be giving an update probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks to the community. We are almost completed with all of our bid openings. We've had a lot of success. In fact, we have 10 separate resolutions on for this evening alone with approval of contracts with construction firms, construction companies, regarding bids that we are accepting and approving this evening. The only thing that is outstanding right now on this comprehensive list is bid openings that will happen this week for the Verona High School floors and walls, the hallways renovation, as well as what looks like it will be a bid opening on May 8th now. This is a rebid for the HVAC, the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning replacement at all four elementary schools and the middle school. We did have the HVAC bid opening a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, nobody bid on those. We do think that COVID played a huge role in those, so we decided to rebid it. And we're hopeful that we will get more interest on May 8th and that perhaps we will be able to take advantage of bids that come in at or under budget. So I'll be able to provide some more updates to the board on the progress there at our next board meeting on what I believe is May 14th or May 12th. Perhaps it's May 12th. And then we get to what I believe is close to the end of the presentation, comparable districts. This is our comp group. We have 9 schools, including Verona, that's in this comp group. This is an important illustration for the board and for the public because it really takes school districts that are located and are similar to Verona, and it compares us to these school districts, at least on the budgetary side. We could certainly expand upon this and talk more about, you know, whether it's a state or a national ranking or accolades or just the nature of what we value and believe we're doing a really great job of, which are so many to name that our teachers and our administrators are carrying out. But on the financial side, we can see here and get a perspective across just these 4 major categories. So this is just a snapshot. We usually do a more comprehensive comparative analysis that we have. But this will allow for takeaways of some key points. So the first is the budgetary per pupil cost. Verona all the way at the bottom, $14,042. All of this information is pulled from the Taxpayer's Guide to Education Spending. It's on the DOE, it's on the state website. We have access to this information on our district website, and that's where we pull the numbers. So these are the most recent numbers that the state puts out. Members of the public can go and access it there as well. And you can see that on the budgetary per pupil cost, we are the first lowest in spending. Now, how do we come across, you know, these 9 school districts? You know, it's important to give that perspective. It's based on school districts that are similar in size, That means school districts that are between 1,800 and 3,500 students. That's the parameter that the state uses for comparison's sake. It's school districts that are K through 12, because it would be unfair to compare school districts that are regionalized with less schools, because that throws off the per pupil spending, and you're not comparing apples to apples. So that's another important component. And the third variable is they're all school districts in northern New Jersey. And here you see all the school districts are made up of, they happen to fit these categories, they all fit into three counties predominantly, Bergen, Essex, actually four, Morris, and I believe Union County. And when we take a look at all of that category, northern New Jersey, the reason that the state breaks it out that way, and we do as well, is it would be unfair to compare spending in Verona, New Jersey, and Essex County with a school district of similar size in Cumberland County, because the cost of living is very different in both counties. So you see that we're doing very, very well on the per pupil cost spending. On the classroom supplies, we are third lowest. That's something that we used to be even lower, and we've been working towards incrementally improving, because that's an area where we don't want to be low in spending. We want to get as many materials as possible into our teachers and our student hands. And when we look at extracurricular, same thing there, low per pupil spending. The 2% cap just makes it very, very difficult for us to spread dollars around in too many categories too quickly. It's just virtually impossible. And then the average property taxes you see there, we're third lowest. So that's $11,898 for Verona, comparatively speaking with our comp group. So the Verona taxpayer is getting a great value on the education side based on the opportunities that are afforded our students, based on the spending that it requires to accomplish our goals. And then each year, we end this presentation with a list of all of the colleges that our students were accepted into. Always important to note, this is last year's graduating class at Verona High School, because the list is complete. The list is not necessarily complete at this time for our current students. So next year's budget presentation will include this year's students. And that will conclude the budget presentation. At this time, I'll turn it over to the members of the board. Does any member of the board have a comment or a question for Mr. Turner or myself?
No, it's Mr. Tresky speaking. Thank you very much. It was an excellent presentation, very comprehensive. I think I have just a comment on slide 14. When we talk about non-discretionary and discretionary spending, I think it's important to note that last year we began really to focus on our vendor management as part of our budgeting process and trying to save money. And the categories that we had done so far was our auditor and our physician. And we got a little sidetracked this year with COVID and some other things in our business department that we didn't continue with our categories. But I want to keep that on our radar moving forward, because I think it brought us in extra dollars. It was definitely a cost savings there.
For sure. Absolutely.
And
that's something
that we can
revisit next year. As things settle down, we can always continue to look at different providers, different vendors. And I know that the health insurance was one that we were going to perhaps look at. Right now, with such a great rate, I think we as a board have talked about that, and we can continue to evaluate how we're doing. It's something that the board in the future can look at, but this year was a really great result. That doesn't mean that we can't get it cheaper somewhere else, but it's always worth exploring. It doesn't hurt exploring and pricing things out.
Yeah, and I think our goal was to kind of get on a cycle with our vendors and our services, and I think that would be a really nice practice to move forward with.
Agreed.
Do any other board members have any questions or comments on the budget presentation?
Yes, Lisa, Jim Day. I just want to, again, thank Ernie and Rui and staff for putting this budget together. I was happy to see with the budget progress update that we're able to, you know, add some more staff, some teachers, and some critical spots. I also want to do a shout-out to the town for assisting us with some of the shared service items. I think that definitely helps us with our budget and shows us that the town and the board work closely hand-in-hand to, you know, help all residents of the district. And finally, I just want to, thank the teacher, staff, and everyone else for, you know, helping us control the benefit costs. As you know, that's always a big line item, a big increase this every year, and we're able to, you know, see a less of an increase this year than other years. So I'm happy to see that we're moving forward in the right direction on that. So, again, I just want to thank the business administration here and the administration and Ernie, Mr. Turner, for doing a wonderful job on this budget this year.
Thank you, Mr. Dutch.
Thank you very much.
I have to thank Mr. Turner as well. He's done a tremendous job this year in really working with me as the superintendent on the budget. It's been refreshing. He has done an excellent job of providing insight and his years of experience. The amount of hours that go into analyzing line items and working on budgets, it's just endless. And we want to make sure that we're doing a great job, and Mr. Turner did an excellent job. And I also want to thank Mr. Balaj, our manager of technology, who has spent countless hours working on the budget side of things, line item by line item, retrieving data for us and information, and then following up on the input on the data where we wanted to make adjustments, so that way we can do as great of a job as we can in stretching these dollars. So kudos to both of those men for all of their support. We certainly wouldn't be here if it weren't for all of their efforts.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dini.
Does anybody else have anything before we move on?
Mrs. Fresky, this is Mrs. Drappy. I would just like to say that as a teacher and as a parent, I appreciate the increase in discretionary spending. I know that comes from the surplus from other spending, and that we were able to funnel that directly into the classroom and in the end back into the students' hands. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is taking any extra money that we have and making sure that the students get that directly. So thank you, Mr. Turner and Dr. Dionisio, for doing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I will say on, and this is Dr. Dionisio again, I will say that, I would be remiss if I didn't piggyback off of what Mr. Turner had said previously regarding, the status of the budget across the state and the economy. At this time, the state aid numbers that we have received or will receive, as we've been notified from the governor's office, remain unchanged. But it's no secret that the economy is suffering not only in New Jersey, but also across the country, and that the public health issue with COVID may have some significant implications down the line. And I hope that that is not the case. And I know that everybody on this call shares these sentiments as well, that we hope it does not impact our school budgets, but it is possible. So it is something that we have to be mindful of. There's nothing that we're going to do at this time prematurely, but it is something that we have in the back of our mind, that it is quite possible that in the coming months, if things don't turn around with the economy, that there could be an impact to school budgets, which would add an incredible challenge and constraints with reduced funding We're at the same time, we're trying to make sure that we're providing the best possible education during unprecedented times. So it's conceivable, and we hope that it rebounds soon. And the reality is we need to make sure that the public health and the safety of all of our students and our staff are the primary concern. And along those same lines, we're also, as a school district, looking at when we do return to school, what does that look like from maintaining social distance, which is incredibly difficult, in bringing almost 3,000 people into our schools each and every day. 2,300 yeah. plus students, 350 plus staff. It's quite a number of people plus visitors. So how we do school is going to, in my opinion, going to look very different in the coming months, if not year or longer. And that's something that we are exploring right now, is where are shifts needed, so we're as well prepared as possible when we do return to school, while maintaining the safety of all of our staff and all of our students.
Okay. If
Any
there's nothing
on the budget?
I don't think so. And now I'm going to go to Mr. Allworth. We did meet, the Finance Committee met, so this budget presentation covered almost
yeah.
everything. Mr. Allworth, do you have anything to add to it?
No, I mean, that presentation from both Mr. Turner and Dr. Deaney here pretty much covered our meeting. I'm pretty confident in the budget that they put together, and I think it's it really benefits the students and is pretty conservative in the spending, and is I think it's about as good a budget as we could get right now, and I just hope that the situation doesn't change too much in the coming weeks. But
yeah.
I have nothing to add. It was pretty comprehensive, guys. It was a great job.
The only thing that I'm going to add to it is extending on Dr. Dionisio, what you were just saying, that there might be some unforeseen impacts from COVID. One of the things that New Jersey did was they extended the fiscal year through September. And we don't know at this point, I don't think we know, that when will our June state aid payment be made. We don't know if we're going to get that on time or if that's going to get pushed out. Is that correct?
Mr. Turner, could you speak to that one?
Yes. It's my suspicion, though. We haven't been notified officially on this, but the reason why our two June payments were paid in July was because they were pushed back into another fiscal year, all right, because the state's fiscal year ends on June 30th as well. So now with their extension of their fiscal year to September 30th, I have to think that the two June payments that we would normally receive in July, we're not going to see until October. All right, so that's something that we're going to have to prepare for one way or another. So so that's my suspicion, because it was always pushed back into a new fiscal year. So the new fiscal year this year will be October.
Yeah, and then the other two things I just wanted to mention quickly that we spoke about during our Finance Committee meeting was Mr. Turner did have a conversation with our bonds counsel, Andrea Kahn. And there was some good news there, because as we go through the book openings for the referendum, the question was, if some things come under budget and other things go over budget, are we allowed to shift money between projects and between question number one and question number two? And the answer was absolutely yes, as long as we stay within our total budgeted number for the referendum. So that was good news, knowing that we have some wiggle room and leeway onto how we shift money between projects. And the last thing that we mentioned briefly was the advisory financial firm, the PFM, the Bond Proceeds Management.
we did get a little bit of interest so far on the monies that we have in there. And I think the number was around $16,000 in interest so far. So that was some good news.
That's some good news.
And I think that's it. Did I miss anything, Mr. Turner, on our finance meeting?
If I could just make one other comment, and I'm not sure if we brought it up at the Finance Committee meeting, but I had mentioned to Dr. Dionisio in talking with our financial advisors that assisted us with the bond sale, they told us that the timing that Verona had for our bond sale could not have been better, because with the bond sale that we had in February, it was right after that, the bond market actually dried up. And we got in just before the market really sort of went bad for anybody who was trying to sell bonds. So we got in just under the wire before all these situations took place. And they said we wound up making, the benefit to the district is significant, because there were bond sales where they had nobody bidding on these bonds, and we had substantial bidders in our bonds. So that's a little bit of a good news that we wound up getting in just before everything went a little crazy.
That's great.
If I may just shift back, I'm looking at my notes. There is another part of my superintendent report I just want to make a few comments on, unrelated to the budget. So, and that's in the spirit of the end of the year events scheduled at each of our schools, whether it's a fourth grade farewell, the eighth grade promotion, proms, banquets, all kinds of rite of passages for our students, especially for our seniors, who these are the last few months of school that they have. And as the parent of a senior, I certainly know what it's like for the parents, but more importantly for the students and what they're going through, and we wish it were different. Mr. Cogdill, Mr. Lancaster at Verona High School have been engaging with our senior student council members around the end of the year activities, especially graduation. Obviously, with COVID and regulations and recommendations from public health experts and mandates of what we can and cannot do, where public health is the most important issue that we have to tend to. So, obviously, as everything is right now, it does not appear that a traditional graduation ceremony is going to be possible. We wish it were different, but unfortunately, it does not look like that's going to become a reality. We are looking at lots of different ideas and contingencies, so that way we can maintain as much of the tradition. And our seniors deserve the opportunity to have the best possible experience that they can have towards graduation. So we've tried to get feedback from our seniors, whether it's through video conferences with student council. We've also sent out a survey to all of our seniors to get their feedback and insight and ideas. And we know that some parents have provided some feedback as well. Ultimately, it's an administrative decision. Mr. Cogdill and I and the high school administration have been working on this since the third week in March as contingency plans unfolded, and we're still waiting to hear from the governor as to what the end of the year looks like, and I'm also in collaboration with other superintendents in the county and in the northern region, so we're going to do our best to provide students with something that's memorable and special for them. Because they deserve it. They deserve it everywhere. So I just wanted to make a public note of that, and more information will be forthcoming as we have it and we make a decision in the coming weeks as to what it looks like.
Great. Thank you. I mean, it's going to be memorable no matter what, just defined by the circumstances. So I appreciate all that effort. And I don't know how many people are following Mr. Cogdill on Twitter or Instagram, but he's been doing fantastic shout-outs to all the seniors, one by one on what their plans are and what their most memorable part of high school has been. So it's been really fun to see that and read that and I commend the staff and the principals for going above and beyond to, you know, try and bring recognition and make this time special for particularly, like you said, the seniors. It's a big deal.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to move along then with the agenda. Are there any other discussion items that we have not covered yet that anybody wants to comment on? And if not, we are going to do a roll call to vote on resolution. So I need a motion and a second for the resolution.
So move, Mrs. Drappy.
Motion made by Mrs. Drappy, and I need a second.
Jim Day,
I'll second.
And I'm going to give it to Mr. Jim Day for the second. And is there any discussion on any of the resolution items? If not, we're going to resolve that we approve resolutions number 1 through 20 and addenda resolutions 1 through number 4. And if there's no discussion, we could call to vote on the resolutions.
Mr. Allworth.
Yes.
Mrs. Drappy.
Yes.
Mr. Day.
Yes.
Mrs. Prisco?
Yes.
And Mrs. Freshy?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Excellent. And then we are going to open up at this point if there's any public comments on anything. We could take public comments at this point, and Dr. Dionisio will open it up to the anyone on the line.
Yes, so once again, I will activate the Q&A session for the public. Members of the public will be prompted to, on their phones, follow the instructions. If they want to make any public comment, they will press star and then 6 on their keypad, and the number 1 when prompted, and it'll place them in the queue if they're interested in speaking publicly on any items.
And if when they speak publicly, if they could please state their name and address as well.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so there were no public comments, and we are going to move to adjourn the meeting, but I do want to thank the whole board and Dr. Dionisio and Dr. Turner for being so flexible, and for the public who's ever out there who called in to listen to the meeting. We know it's unconventional, but we do appreciate the patience that we have with this. So I'm going to have a motion to adjourn the meeting, and I need a motion and a second.
A motion.
Is that Mrs. Prisco?
Yeah, sorry.
Ms. Prisco, a motion to adjourn the meeting, and I need a second.
Second,
Mr. Day. I'm going to give it to Mr. Day again.
Right.
Mr. Day, in quick. And all in favor? Aye.
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 And any opposed? No? Then this meeting is officially adjourned at 8:20 p.m. And the next scheduled public meeting is Tuesday, May 12th, beginning with confidential session at 6 p.m. and the public session, pending the nature of the situation of COVID-19, will be via teleconference again. And that is it. We're a wrap. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.